So as I mentioned to the children who were leaving, we're going to talk about lies today. Lies that we tell children. Now, we're not going to get into anything seasonal, but I want to talk about the lies we talk to children or tell children on a regular, probably daily, weekly basis as we drag them to church. So, for example, we like to tell children the following: God is love. And yet we act like God is most absolutely not love, but he's absolutely vengeance. Right? There's so many of us who are afraid of God because he is God and we are not. And therefore, we're afraid. It doesn't sound like we are in relationship with love in that example. We tell children that temperate living is the key to happiness. Yet we show them that the only goal in life is to amass as much wealth and power as possible. We teach children that, quote, honesty is the best policy. And then we hide from the confessional, not wanting to be honest with ourselves or with our God. So either we need to stop lying to our children, or we need to stop lying to ourselves and behaving like the rules do not apply to me now that I am an adult. As an adult, personally, I have spent a lot of time in 12-step meetings. And one of my favorite things about people who commit to a 12-step program is that they are willing to look at their life with the glasses of harsh reality. They will tell you all about their story and their lives in brutal, painful honesty, not hiding a thing. How I wish that all of humanity would bring this radical view of humanity to their own lives. But radical humility is to the soul the way an ice bath is to the body. It's quite shocking. But if you sit in a water, if you were to sit in water that was a temperate temperature and gradually increase or decrease the temperature, yes, you would notice it, but you would not be shocked. It would be a change that you are okay with, because rather than being drastic, it happens gradually. When we apply this concept to virtue, we come to the concept in Catholic morality known as the law of gradualness. It states that change that is good, change that is lasting, usually takes a while. This is why the process to become Catholic takes at least usually a year. This is why the process to become a priest takes 6 to 9 years. Isn't it funny that we only make you be engaged for 6 months before getting married? The law of gradualness takes the natural concept that good things take time, and it says yes. Yes, they do, and this is exactly how supernatural things work as well. The only split-second change that is worth anything is the change that happens from sinner to forgiven, that is offered in an instant in the confessional. But to become holy, for real holiness, one must gradually achieve this over time. No one becomes a saint overnight. That is simply not how the Lord works. That's not how nature works either. How many of you have ever gone on vacation and started to go to a tanning bed before you went to that tropical paradise, knowing that right now you're a pale shade of vampire? And if you don't protect yourself, you'll be a shiny lobster on that very first day. So, how many of us take time to go to a tanning bed of some sort to temper our skin so that the drastic effects of the sun might not be so drastic? And instead of being a lobster every day of your vacation, you get a nice, even, beautiful tan that helps protect you from the sun while still enjoying that vitamin D. Maybe you like food. I do. How fast can you cook chicken? I mean, you can cook it very fast if you like it very crispy on the outside and full of salmonella on the inside. Chicken needs to take time. You cannot flash cook chicken in a good way and not get sick. These are natural things that you are familiar with. So why wouldn't it make sense that your supernatural soul functions the exact same way as your body or chicken does? Now, Jesus today is teaching about the law of gradualness. First, he supports the law and shows that it still holds weight because he quotes the Old Testament constantly. He shows that, yes, we should still follow the commandments given by God. But these commandments are big umbrellas that are overarching themes. They have many small manifestations under them that we can do before we commit the great sin associated with it. For example, well, I don't commit murder, Father. Well, good for you. That's a really low bar. There are a lot of things that happen before murder. We want you to get rid of those things before you get to the murder. Also, don't murder, okay? But that is what Jesus is showing. All of the major problems start with minor problems. Premeditated murder starts with resentment in your heart and in your head. And this is the same thing we teach our children who are preparing for reconciliation. You may ask yourself, why is it that the church picks the age of 7 to be the age of reason? And it's because the church has identified that this is a beautiful middle ground where you are old enough to know the difference between right and wrong, and you are still young enough to start a habit that will be with you for the rest of your life. When you are small and your sins are small, what effort does it take to confess? I hit my sister. I stole some candy. I didn't listen to my parents. No one cares. Literally no one cares. Those are small sins. I'm kidding. We all care about your sins. But here's why I'm telling you this. No one cares. Because no one cares, okay? It's not hard to commit or to confess those sins when they are very small, when you are a small child. And that's the point. Because we want you to get used to that habit of confessing the small sins when you are small, so that as you grow and your sins grow with you, you would not be a coward, but you would be in the habit of confessing your sins no matter what. And therefore, you would continue that habit all throughout the rest of your life. So we start the children when their sins are small and insignificant so that they would be comfortable in the confessional and not be afraid of it. So when they have something worth confessing, they still walk in to receive that mercy from the Lord. Now, a long-lasting internal commitment to keeping your soul clean through confession instead of going just once a year is going to affect change more rapidly than if you just try the spot check method of, well, I haven't murdered anyone, so I'll go next year. That's not a great plan for your soul, just so we're clear. Let's listen to the first reading, though, because it is always up to our choice. The Lord gives us agency. He gives us our will and our intellect, which are our two greatest gifts that we command. And he says this in the first reading, if you choose, you can keep the commandments, period. Why is that a terrifying statement? Because it puts all the responsibility in your court. If you choose. This is not the Lord saying, let someone go up to the mountains and get the commandments. Let someone go across the sea and get my wishes. No, 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 no. You must choose. If you choose this day to keep the commandments, you will. And then it continues, before man are life and death, good and evil. Whichever he chooses shall be given. So we are told, A, it is up to us, and B, we get what we want. Is this not another way to say, seek and you will find, ask and it will be given? Choose before you today life and death, good or evil. Sorry, life or death, good or evil. Whichever you choose shall be given. If you allow resentment, anger, bitterness, jealousy, lust, envy, greed, or any other malicious emotion to take up residence in your heart when it is small, then you will be given the spiritual fruit of adultery, rage, murder, dishonesty, and possible criminal activity. What we surround ourselves with is what we get. St. Paul says it eloquently when he addresses the community in the second reading and tells them with brutal honesty that they need to know if they are mature or not in their faith. He says, we speak of a wisdom for those who are mature. The way you know you are mature, and if you have mature faith, is if you keep the commandments, and when you break them, go to confessions soon. We can pretend like what we do doesn't matter, that our emotions do not compound onto each other, that decisions we make in one area of our life don't affect the others. Or we can see that we do have agency, we have control, we have power. power to choose the good and to supplant the bad, power to keep our soul in a state of grace instead of acting like I am just a passive member of the human race. We can lie to ourselves that we cannot affect the destination of our soul for eternity, or we can know that we are the only one to blame if we are not living up to the life that God has called us to. It's February 12th today. Maybe your New Year's resolution has already ended terribly, but that really doesn't matter, because today is a new day. Today is a great day to choose to keep the commandments, to choose to keep the precepts of the church, so that we choose life, choose good, and choose peace by our actions.